Our study at this time continues in the second chapter of Joshua. We just finished the 11th verse. In that 11th verse, we had a very great expression of faith given by Rahab. She is telling how that all of Israel knows of the great acts that God has done for his people, how that they'd come out of the land of Egypt and passed through the Red Sea on dry land, how that they had defeated the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. And she says, as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 31st verse, the writer there is talking about this great faith of Rahab the harlot. He says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. So it was through her faith that she acted, through her faith that she protected these spies, and we see what the expression of it is there. So beginning in verse 12 now, this second chapter of Joshua, she starts to deal with these spies to make an agreement with them so that in return for her protection of them, they will protect her and her family when they come in to take the land. So verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Now her faith was strong enough that she acted upon it. Not only did she protect these men and risk her life at this time to protect them, but she also is wanting to make an agreement with these men that they then, when they come in, will protect her and her father's house. She feels so strongly about this God that she says, swear unto me by the Lord. This expresses a true belief in him. Not just that he is some other image that some people believe in, and I know that he exists from that standpoint. He is true in that I believe in him. I want to have you swear by him and then hold you to it on the basis of the fact that this is the true God and you're serving him. So the agreement is, since I showed you kindness, that you'll also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Now, she wanted just a return favor. I've actually saved your life and risked my life in doing so. Now I ask you to show me the same kindness that I showed you. And notice verse 13. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Now she has no mention of any husband or children of her own, but she is certainly talking about her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, so that she has a great concern for her family. We have to believe that Rahab had a reverential respect, that she gave honor to her mother and her father, which is one of the basic laws found in the Ten Commandments and a law found today in the church. We have to have a lot of respect for Rahab here because of the feeling she had for her family. She wasn't just wanting to save herself, but she wanted to save her mother and her father, her brothers and her sisters, and all that they had, and deliver our lives from death. Verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. Now here they were entering into a contract with Rahab. Now we have to realize it's a stressful situation. They're up on the rooftop. She's fixing to hide them from the men who are looking for them. But they're dealing here. They're bartering. They're making a trade. They're making an agreement. And the men give some consideration to it, and they put some thought and some wisdom into this agreement they're going to make. And so they say, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And there's a condition, Rahab, we will do this, but you have to hold firm to your part of the agreement. Do not tell anybody about our business. Don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell your family. Do not let the word out. Certainly do not tell those who are immediately looking for us. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. They agree to do this. We will do it, Rahab. You carry out your part of the bargain, we'll carry out our part of the bargain. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Let's notice now, Rahab did dwell upon the wall. The walls of Jericho were about 30 feet high, and they were double walls, and these double walls were about 15 feet apart, and they were held together by houses being built on the top of them. The inner wall was about 12 feet thick, and the outer wall was about 6 feet thick. And we're going to read later where these walls did fall down. They fell down flat, but we'll discuss that as we get to it later in the narrative. But her house was built upon this wall, and so that's what he has reference to here in this 15th verse when he said, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So it was a regular house there. It wasn't just an unusual thing to find somebody living on the wall when we see that these walls were built in such a way as to have people dwelling between the two walls. Now, she let them down through by a cord through the window. This reminds us of the Apostle Paul, while he was still called Saul, being let out through the wall of Damascus, being let down in a basket to escape those who were pursuing him. Verse 16, and she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. Now she knew the country, and she may have very well known through some of her contacts which way the king's men went. And so she tells them how to escape. Don't go on the road. Don't stay on the main way. Go into the mountain. And you stay there for 3 days. Give those that are looking for you time to come back and get out of the way. If you get out on the road now, you're going to meet them coming back, and they'll discover you. So hide for 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards you may go your way. After 3 days, you can go on back. So this was very good advice, and I'm sure that they did heed this advice, and this is another way that Rahab used her knowledge and her ability then to help save the spies that had come over to spy out the land. Now this also coincided with what James says in James 2:25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So James also, as in addition to the book of Hebrews, uses Rahab as a great example of faith. And James shows that Rahab's belief wasn't enough. She had to also have some works. And her works included receiving the spies and hiding them and then sending them out by another way. That is, even after she had hidden them, she protected them still by telling them how to escape. Gave them good advice because, of course, her salvation depended upon their salvation. Verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. They reaffirmed her, we're going to keep the oath. We're going to keep our part of the bargain. We will be true and faithful. Behold, verse 18, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. So they spell out to her the particulars of what they wanted to do. The same scarlet thread that they had used to be let down out of her window by, she was to hang this, bind this line in the window. And so they would be able to spot her house and then know how to go about protecting and saving her family from the destruction. So here's another thing that Rahab had to do on faith. She had to bind this scarlet thread on this window. Now that's very similar to the children of Israel when the Passover angel came while they were still in Egypt, having to put the blood of the lamb over the door or on the doorpost. Red color is symbolic also of blood, just as the blood of the lamb that they used in the Passover, and also as the blood of Christ that we use in salvation today. She had to, if you want to use this as a figure, she had to do something there that would cause her to make contact with the blood, or use blood as a symbol of salvation. And truly, whenever they came into the land and saw this scarlet ribbon, it was a symbol to them that this was the house that was to be saved. Now, another thing, she was to bring her family, her father, mother, and her brothers and sisters, he says, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. Rahab's house was the sanctuary. It was the place that was to be saved. They couldn't wander around about the city. They couldn't be out wandering in the street. They couldn't even be in another house. They had to be in the house of Rahab. Now, Rahab's house was the house where the faith was. That's where she dwelt. And this would be a type of our being in the church today. When you go into the house of faith, that is, into the assembly of the church, and we're talking about the people being the church, not a building someplace. But when you go into the church, then you must stay in the church to be protected. You must stay in the church to really be in the true sanctuary. To wander out from the church and to go into the world and to mingle with the world in a spiritual way so that you have deserted your post and your duty and your position is the same then as if one of the members of Rahab's family had left her house and gone out into the city at the time the Lord came or at the time the destruction came. If they weren't in the house, they couldn't be saved. So that's very plain. And they tell her that if somebody does do that, if he goes out into the street and not in your house when this time comes for salvation, then we will be guiltless. His blood will be upon his head. But by the same token, whosoever should be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. We're going to be responsible for those that are in your house, that are with you in the house. Verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. We're not going to be bound if you tell anybody about our business. If you give away our secret, or even after we have left, if you spread the word that I'm going to be saved, just hang a scarlet ribbon out the window and you can be saved, then that'll just confuse us and we won't be bound. You have to carry this out the way we want it carried out. And that's true of any oath that we make or any agreement that we make with God. We read the agreement, we read the terms, and we must carry it out to the letter of the terms. If we start changing it, do not carry out our part of it, then God is not bound to carry out his part, and he will not do so. Verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now you can believe that Rahab's going to carry out her part of the bargain. She is not going to let down for 1 minute on the things that she knows to do. She bound the scarlet line in the window. And she truly is a very, very great example of faith to us. So we read in verse 22, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the spies were safe. They followed Rahab's advice. They hid in the mountain for 3 days until these pursuers had returned and were unable to find them. And then they were safe then to return back to Joshua. Verse 23. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. Now these two men made the safe return. They went back over the river, and they came to Joshua. Now, they didn't come and announce their findings publicly to just anybody that happened to be standing around, and as though they were giving some kind of a news conference and men of celebrity. They came back to Joshua. They had made the announcement to Joshua, and he was the one to whom they were to report. He's the one that sent them out. And whatever their report happened to be, it would first be filtered through Joshua before it got to the others. Joshua would make a determination on the basis of the report. Now, we have a very favorable report here. First of all, it's favorable because these spies had returned. Now, true, they had been in some danger, very much danger, but the hand of God had led them through that danger, and now they had gotten the information that they wanted, and they'd returned. If they learned nothing else other than just what Rahab had told them and believed what she said, that was information enough. That was all they needed to know, that everybody was afraid. Everybody knew what was going to happen. Everybody was fainting and not wanting to put up any resistance because they were so fearful of this great army. So that was information enough there. And so they had a very favorable report. Verse 24, and they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They're afraid of us, Joshua. The Lord has truly lived up to what he said he would do. He's delivered this land into our hands. It's just ours for the taking. These people are afraid of us. We're going to be able to be successful. That's a very, very favorable report. Now, they could have given a different kind of a report. They could have said, oh, I'll tell you, Joshua, the king, he is really after us. He, as soon as we got there, he sent men looking for us. We just barely escaped. If it hadn't been for this one woman that we chanced up on, we wouldn't have gotten out of that place. I don't think we have a chance. They're really waiting for us. They're well aware of what we're doing. They're aware of the fact that we're here. They know what we've done in the past, and they're going to be laying for us. I just think that we better back off of this. This is going to be too much. Now, they could have given that kind of a report, but they didn't. And just look how much different their report was than those 12 spies that were sent 40 years ago by Moses, of whom Joshua was a member of that group. They came back and gave a very unsatisfactory report. There's giants over there. We can't take that land. It's going to be terrible. And got all the people stirred up, and they rebelled and didn't want to go across 40 years ahead, 40 years before, when God was ready for them to take the land. And because of that bad report, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. They had to have all those who were above the age of 20 to die, except for Caleb and Joshua, the two faithful spies, before they could go into the land of Canaan. Even Moses wasn't allowed to go. And so this is quite a different report now. Another thing we'd like to notice here is this encounter that they had with Rahab, that was not just some accident. They didn't just by chance come upon this woman who happened to be the one person in the town who believed in the true and living God. Rahab believed in God before the spies got there. She was well aware of what was happening, and she knew that this was the true and the living God, the God of heaven, the God of earth. And consequently, we have to believe then that God, by his providence, allowed this to work out this way. He allowed her to be put in the position of being able to help those spies and to protect them. And then, as a result of that, then she could make an agreement with them where they could then protect her and her family. And we know that this is the way God works. Those who love God, those who seek after him, he's going to make all things work together for good for them. And she truly did have a true respect and love for God. We also know that those who do not have a love for the truth, he sends them a strong delusion. But those who love the truth, those who study and want to know and are eager to employ the knowledge of God in their lives, then God's going to be with them, and he's going to allow them to learn more. He's going to enhance their ability to know. This is along the very lines of our Savior speaking when she said those that have, what they have is going to be taken away, and those that have not, they're going to be given. If we have some knowledge of God, and we do not act upon it, we do not treat it with reverence and respect and make it a part of us, but we fail to believe it, relegate it to a lesser position in our life, God's going to take that knowledge away from us. He's not going to let us have any more knowledge, and plus we won't even be able to keep that. And this is the case here of Rahab. She believed in this God. She trusted him. So this was not mere chance that the spies came to her door. It was the providence of God. He allowed this thing to work out for the best for the both of them. The spies were protected. Joshua got a good report. The people could go ahead and take the land. And at the same time, Rahab was going to be given protection for her household. And she was going to be saved. And all she wanted out of this was just to be saved. She wanted to be spared whenever the town was destroyed. But we see God in his great providence goes even beyond what we expect. He does much more than we expect. Rahab married into a prominent family of Israel. She married Solomon. And then she also became in the line of descendants through which our Savior would be born. She's found in the genealogy in Matthew. So that she went to the very highest among the prominent people of Israel. One of the ancestors by bloodline of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So all things do work together for good, and God more than grants the things that we expect when we're faithful to Him. Well, we're going to conclude at that point. Next time, Lord willing, ready to begin with chapter 3. Thank you.